So let's hear the final stages of us walking through Pierre Lachaise Cemetery. I hope it's audible enough. Maybe I'll repeat parts so you can really get it. And this, we're going from the, we'll do a bit of Oscar Wilde's tomb, and then we go to different individuals, and we end up with Abelard and Heloise and someone else. I can't remember right now. Okay, so let's do that and hopefully finish up our points. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
Bring up the recording. Volume up. So you hear me and Roxy discussing Oscar Wilde, or just at the end of the Oscar Wilde tomb. I got it in the right position. There's a little bit of interruptions there. I didn't stop it. Still going forward.
No, rien de rien. I think somewhere here. No, je ne regrette rien. Because they came out from here. Quand il m'est point dans ce bras, il m'est parlé tout bas.
Edith Piaf was all that I knew growing up in Paris. So when I got to New York in 53, early 54, and started to hear the R&B and the doo-wop, I got Edith pretty quickly.
No,
and I became the devotee of American pop culture, and I lost my conditioning by Edith Piaf. And that's the beginning of Bicarque. Because we never heard that kind of rant.
I finally just finished that process.
I just finished it.
Okay, what's going on here is we're at the Edith Piaf tomb, French chanteuse, and I'm talking about how in my youth, in the 30s and 40s, I heard nothing but Edith Piaf. And meanwhile, I'm being interrupted by Roxy as she sings some cliche Edith Piaf songs. And then we're then saying when I got to New York City in 1954, I started hearing R&B, and I forgot all that French music and got into the rich world that I play every week on Payday. So that's what's being said there. So I think I'd like to go back and replay it a little bit so you catch it.
Il m'est point dans ce bras, il m'est parlé tout bas, je vois le vieux mot.
Edith Piaf was all that I knew growing up in Paris. So when I got to New York in 53, early 54, and started to hear the R&B and the doo-wop, I got Edith pretty quickly.
No, rien de rien.
I became the devotee of American pop culture, and I lost my conditioning by Edith Piaf. That's the beginning of Bicarque. Because we never heard that kind of rant.
I finally just finished that process.
I just finished it. To apologize to Edith for abandoning her kind of culture for a wonderful culture that the blacks were making in North America. Which I had become an expert DJ in reminding people of what happened in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. So, thank you, Edith.
C'est la vie.
For a wonderful nursery rhyme, nursery level of singing. What do you call it? Nursery school. But the real breakthrough was in New York City, 1954, 55, 56, with the wonderful culture that came out of Africa. mixed with industry roots. Just you know, American Africans are not Africans. African Americans are not African. They are industrialized, just like the whites are, and the blacks mixed with the tactility of the electric environment to create the wonderful music that we all
dance to.
Dancing. Oh. My orange clown suit has been taken over by Dr. Dean.
Yeah.
I am now freezing here in the energy.
It's your fault? Just dressed like you're in Maui.
Yes.
You and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Western culture clothing style. Right now, I'd be on the beach. So let's go to see Mr. Victor Noir.
Yeah, somewhere around here is Modigliani.
Yeah.
Carolyn said, "Great hair."
So I got to move it forward.
Oh, le petit.
I go back a bit.
Western culture clothing style. Right now, I'd be on the beach. So let's go to see Mr. Victor Noir.
Yeah. Somewhere around here is Modigliani.
Yeah.
Carolyn said, "Great hair." A fetish.
Yeah.
Look, his hat is full of flowers of all the perverts that come here. Oh, even here is open. For foot fetishes.
What about to see what he wrote?
Who cares?
Yeah, he died.
Very nice statue. This is avant-garde.
What's happening here is I think we're looking at the Victor Noir statue or tomb, and the guy is a young poet. He's laid out, and you see all this rust stain over where his penis would be. People would caress his genitals. So it's years of doing this. It's stained. And they did a foot fetish, too. They sucked on his toes, and that was all stained brown. It was sort of like, a greenish kind of look. I don't know if this is clear enough, but let's see what happens next. We're looking at Fontaine, who wrote fantasy stories, mythology. like Aesop's Fables, I think. And then we have Molière, the playwright.
Yes, it's like nobody noticed they're here. It's not that amazing. Like,
Nursery School by La Fontaine.
The fables up.
And Molière just totally pissed off the effect of the printed book, so he writes satirical plays to preserve the pre-alphabetic effect, pre-printed book effect, you'd say. And I remember Carolyn, Dean Latimer told me years ago, he was reading all of Molière's plays. This is a journalist for High Times, When Are Hard Times, Homeless. But he was one of the few people in the world to visit Carolyn's lab at West 65th Street in 1995, where he got to being a dope connoisseur. He was the guy who said you could be a heroin addict without being stupid about it. So Dean Latimer celebrated being a heroin addict without suffering the disservices, but he'd never seen a filtration that one does when you make drugs. So he came to Carolyn's lab to see the actual filtration technology that Carolyn was working with on the herbs. It's 95, 96. And he's a very literate guy, very good writer for Walter Bauer and East Village Other. And you can Google him and see the legend around him. But he has disappeared. And remember about 2 weeks, about a month ago, I was talking to Bill Weinberg on my Facebook page. He went, at some statement, he went, Weinberg is our connection to Dean Latimer, and we haven't been able to find Dean lately. So I associate Molière. Here is this guy, a druggie, but a conscious druggie. He also wrote about Marshall McLuhan in the late 60s in the East Village Other. The only hippie-yippie to recommend studying McLuhan's communication technology analysis. Here he was, semi-homeless, and reading Molière, all of Molière's plays. That's pretty neat, right?
Let's see.
Did we do
the French celebrate? All the cemeteries empty, but we...
Yeah. Open again the tour.
We are into
the mob versus the individual. It's the mob view versus the individual view.
So I was explaining Dean Latimer. He wrote for Walter Bauer, East Village Other in the 60s. He wrote for High Times for many years, Screw Magazine before that, and after East Village Other. When I met up with him, I knew him in the late 60s, and I met up with him in 95, 96, and took him to McCarron's lab. He'd never seen actual filtering with herbs and stuff, and as a drug expert, he wanted to see the filtration process. But in the course of being with him, he explained that you can be a heroin addict. Well, you can use heroin without getting addicted if you're not neurotic. So he talked about how he was able to use heroin and not get into any problems with it. So that's what was being discussed right there. And then he told us how he was at that time, mid-90s, reading all of Molière's plays. And we're looking at Molière's graveyard. So that was that part.
And another novelist.
Yeah, tiny
office.
Me. Reading the word ion. Oop, it just stopped.
No, I had to stop on that way.
Get Napoli Ion, commonly mispronounced as Napoleon. We're going to go see Napoli Ion's tomb, and that's where Ion will tell us much.
This is his family from Victor Hugo, but Victor Hugo is not here.
Right. Which many people
homeopathy.
But it's a mere palb compared to the ionic products. This is...
He died.
He is over. The reign of homeopathy is defunct. And he did a good job. He was a good...
He's better than... Doesn't really, really work because he's here.
His tiny principle...
Pico.
We're looking at the father of homeopathy's grave there, talking about how our medicines obsolesce homeopathy.
So like Edith Piaf, he had his day, but better music has come since. Right? There are people who will not acknowledge our stuff because they're devotees of homeopathy. That will prove to be a mistake.
So how are we doing, Your Magnitude?
It's appropriate to say the necessary schizophrenic nature of the 22 quadrant, that I am both in awe of the nameless place, the Pierre Lachaise, and in disgust with it. Possibly between awe and disgust. The 22 quadrant, schizophrenia square. Look, him and butthole. The way of the butthole.
Very cool.
That's Bert of Switzerland. Near the 22 quadrant is a comedian, first we discovered. Leon Noel.
Satirist.
Satirist.
Manipian.
Look at him, he's got the Roxanne snobbish look.
He's just a joke.
Yeah, he's looking at, sneering at the others. So we're at 22, which is right here, and we need to go straight across Morrison.
Did you brought the drugs for the...
Yes, we have the sacraments for Mr. Jim. So, it's key to have this.
So we're looking at some guy, he's not the famous name, but he's a satirist. Famous satirist, European satirist. So we're talking about his sneer. His statue has a sneer. And then I said it reminded me of Roxy's picture on her Facebook page a few months ago where she was kind of looking down, sneering at everybody. Well, that's why she's laughing.
Central point in the mark. Key area is a circle. Visual space is symbolized by the circle. It's the cycle of life and death. This illusion of the cycle. It's important that they have at the center of the park a circle cycle to memorialize the delusion of visual space, where life is cyclical. That is not true.
It's a vortex.
It is something you can't visualize. It is simultaneous, already happened, going in all directions, and superimpositions on top of that. Circle is a linear, it's almost linearization of it. It's a simplification, a horrible simplification. This whole park is a dedication to the simplified Gutenberg effect. The veil. And who is this guy at the top?
Who cares?
Do we have a name? Does Dr. Dean know who's up there?
If he didn't influence...
We're on the way to the Jim Morrison tomb, and we come across like a central part of the park. Some Freemasonic Pari of Sion guy at the top of a huge statue mausoleum. So I'm analyzing who this guy is. I'm talking about his secret society connections and this and that. And then I'm talking about how visual space is symbolized by the circle. So this circle, the cemetery, is a monument to the Gutenberg galaxy and the idea that there is death and an ending point. And it's a knee-jerk response to the literate environment. So I'm sort of summing up the whole environment. So I'm playing this stuff. You can't hear it. You might make bits of it out. Now I'm telling it, so you have to go back and re-listen to it. I'm not going to go back and replay what I just explained.
It's McLuhan, who cares?
Yeah.
It was not relevant.
Can we walk on the green? Can we go over and see what his name is?
I don't think so. Well, just do it. It's your kingdom.
Elocutio, memoria, and pronunciatio. This is dedicated to eloquence, which comes in the decorative superficial goober galaxy of excessive mourning over the tragedy of nothing. And you see, it looks like the Freemasonic G's there, but may not be. But what does that say there?
Of course, everybody here is Muslim.
What does it say in that square there? Something Paris? Four. Something in memory. You read it?
Well, the city of Paris consacred to the memory of the general.
Particular general? Is he an early, like, Roman guy?
No, sorry. There was, like, everybody's sad, the general. Sadness.
Oh, is it general? The mood of the veil's effect. The sadness of the life is short, painful, and British. This is the British propaganda. What does it say at the very top? Deputy president?
He was chosen 7 times president of the secret Council of
Four.
The ministries of.
So this is the Napoleon's time?
Philippe Premier. Well, I suppose.
A major general. That's espionage. So see what it says there. Translation, please.
No. Public
reconnaissance.
No, but it's just like... he's a colonel de la Garde Nationale. The little colonel or something.
Roxy's trying to translate some obscure stuff on one of the tombs, but when we were looking at the big central tomb with the head of the secret society that ran the whole cemetery, I was quoting the 5 parts of rhetoric because one of the parts, eloquence, was cited on the statue, on the mausoleum. So they had some parts of the 5 parts of rhetoric there, and I was saying that, well, elocutio is a decorative part. So the effect of the printing press was create a decorative, superficial fear of life ending under the visual bias. So that's what that was about.
Some other guys with his names.
This came in with the Republic, 1790s. I suspected this had something to do with my father, and it does as we travel the whole 4 sides, we see that it's a memorial to the secret society of the Priory of Sion. National intelligence. The roots of the secret council of 10. Your deep friend.
Predecessor.
It's a very important monument here.
Bob, lockdown rule.
This is kaput. This doesn't work anymore, Carol. The circle does not. It's a poem called the Charmed Circle. This is the emblem to the Charmed Circle, Carol, which does not work anymore. Look at the mountain of tombs.
Everybody's getting high here in honor of Jim. Listening to his music.
Okay, let me make a sleep.
Here we are at the grave, the fake grave of Jim Morrison. We know that he didn't die, that he escaped to other situations. And the game for humanity, they memorialize something that doesn't happen. It didn't exist. It's a Trump Leo.
You all here?
You guys playing music.
Yeah, people come here and get high.
He
now there is
did not die. Yeah,
there is. He's alive in our hearts.
Yeah. Well, with that one stranger, how's the stranger one go?
Riders in the storm.
Remember that song?
Before that stranger.
Yeah. What's that one called? Tiger.
Before that
stranger.
Yeah.
You got? Are you playing a whole bunch?
What?
So we now arrived at Jim Morrison's grave, and there's two European Jim Morrison fans, and they've brought some music, some Jim Morrison music. So we're just starting to talk to them, but it's a bit awkward. They don't know English that well.
So are you real fans?
Yeah, I'm a real fan.
Yes.
The music.
I'm sorry, my English.
Jim Morrison.
So we're Canadians, cool. So we became American.
Like it very much.
So we live in Hawaii. We want to stay in Hawaii. So we became American so they couldn't kick us out. And we are in trouble. We make Jim Morrison look like a damn fucking pants.
Hey. Hey, for rigoler.
What did he say? You translate. What's that?
You have to have fun.
Oh, we do more than that. We seriously do shit that we don't take seriously. We do it seriously. And we do stuff that is very serious with a very low-key seriousness. We are quadriphenic. We are the new world. We are the lizard.
Oh! He's already high.
I've never been high. Let's hear another song. Let's hear another Morrison song. What's he got? We have our DJ right here. we get cut off.
I have to move to other people, take the pictures.
Yeah.
Now it's protected before.
Yeah, Bob's vocals. Bob's vocals dominate the Morrison landscape.
The masses flood to admire.
We need restructure.
Piece of cement.
Get this on tape there. We should restructure.
I saw restructure.
Yes. It's a spiritual drink. Restructure. We got any cards or any labels?
It's not a...
You guess that? Oh, it's a protein powder.
What thing?
Protein powder.
They have some in here. It looks weird because...
Yeah. Oh. We will give you one, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, it's
perfect. We're going to put this over here, though. Yeah, and then we'll give you one. Everybody kiss it.
Everybody kiss
it. Marijuana?
This is our offering.
Yeah, I was thinking offering to the
two. You take it like a shake. It's very good for the muscles.
Okay. And the spirit.
Your strength.
This lady.
With this, your strength.
This lady made it possible.
Everything. This is the best doctor on the planet.
This is the food of paradise.
This for me?
What? Yeah, she's the doctor that made this. Yes, that's for you.
Good. Yes, for you. You two of you. Hang out with them.
Oh, like a...
You take it, not like a shake.
So we dedicate this to the doors of deception.
You want to get high?
This is the eternal drug. The one that Jim was looking for, and the one that Jim, who's not dead, is now using.
I occasionally
get together with Jimmy, and we celebrate the sacred aphrodisiac.
Wait.
What? Here's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my dream.
So we are trying to interest the James Morrison fanatics interest in our restructure product. We're explaining it. And it's a funny scene. One of the guys we are talking to gets arrested for a little bit. I don't know what he's doing wrong, but the guards came over, took him off for a while. Then they let him go, and he came back. And I'm leading up to the point where I'm going to throw a package, a $1.99 small packet of restructure, onto the Jim Morrison tube.
Yeah. It looks a little weird because it says raisin juice.
Raisin juice. But
This is my structure.
All right, okay. We're having a party here.
Instead of taking drugs here with Jim Morrison, we're having some restructure.
We're getting
a new drug. In honor of Jimmy.
Let's hit the music. Jim, what is that? Want to work here on another one?
Yes.
Okay. For the mood.
Uh-oh. The gods. The gods are raining on me.
He's French. He was born here in Paris. No, but le monsieur est né ici.
D'accord.
Oui.
History of madness.
Yeah.
And he
Yeah, it's a sickness that of the skin.
Leprosy.
Leprosy.
So this is about when madness meets reason.
Yes.
Yeah, you can say madness.
When
you
So what's happening here is we've been yucking it up with the Jim Morrison fans, teasing them, talking about how we're better drug dealers than Jim Morrison, and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of raucous laughter. Then we throw our packet on the tomb. And then the European guy pulls out a book by Foucault, F-O-U-C-A-U-L-T, famous historian of industrial societies and insane asylums and prisons. So I talked to the guy about Foucault. So that's what I'm saying there. He was surprised that I knew what he was reading, knew about it.
Done on Monday.
Yeah. Come together. That's Foucault.
That's him.
We solved it.
He's an expert on that.
And Blanchard. I know him. He's a famous French professor and critic. Here, do you want to stick your
body? My reason.
Let's see.
Oh, it's a French structure.
Looks weird.
Yeah. I like it. Celebrating the real loving couple.
Yes, this was the, they helped, made it possible for Bob and Connie, declining to bring in the new era.
Jesus.
They were breakthroughs
of
the Gutenberg galaxy bullshit.
This is the grave of Abelard and Heloise about 800 years ago. They were a monk and a nun that fell in love. We talked about them with Ion a while ago, last week. And so we're at this huge tomb for them. And I'm saying that they're precursors of Bob and Connie. They are preparing the individualization of the Gutenberg effect. I call it the Gutenberg bullshit.
And Eloise?
Now, McLuhan would say they're nominalists. There is a service to nominalism, but you must balance that off with an understanding of rhetoric and grammar. So nominalists, so this dialectic of Abelard and Heloise, male-female dialectic, is symbolized by the nominalist of the two, Abelard. So it's appropriate that the nominalist, the dialectic, would be symbolized by a male-female dialectic. See what I'm saying? Let's go around.
They could not be together alive, but now they're together.
Because they came at the beginning of the Gutenberg galaxy, just before, you know, at the height of the manuscript and phonetic alphabet world.
They're sleeping.
Now there's something we can talk to Ion about.
See the Corinthian columns, Carol?
The lovers who love.
Yes, these are the lovers who love. It's also the beginning of the Romantic era, the Troubadour era, you know, in Spain. The romantic love between the knight and the lady. This is the same time.
And the Languedoc.
Yeah. So it's part of the same era, the individualism, the individual identity coming out of the extreme phonetic alphabet culture of the medieval period, just before the printing press, created a balance for personalized love, a new kind of love versus the corporate tribal arranged marriage kind of love. So their personal involvement with each other was symptomatic of that new effect of the accumulated visual space at the end of the 900 AD, 900 Common Era, into, say, 1100, beginning of the Crusades. I think Abelard lived about 1200. So they're the beginning of what rock and roll celebrates today. Boy, girl, and dog.
And Jim Morrison.
And Jim Morrison, that's right. Appropriate that Jim Morrison is the culmination of this myth.
Yeah.
Right, Carol? Culminate. Remember, Jim was arrested for exposing his dick. He didn't get it cut off.
and I rest my case. I've surveyed the galaxy of death here in France, and I found it wanting. I found it not a tragic situation for me, but I feel sorry for all the people that thought they had to bury themselves in such solid visual boxes. Solid visual boxes. They really took it to heart. This whole cycle of life mythology.
Well, there used to be a Goth, a little man.
And this is their city. The city of the little man. Who is
the monument of
littleness. Yeah. Who's Pierre Lachaise? Is that a person? Father Lachaise?
Yes, he's a father, a priest there or something.
Yes. Patriarchal nonsense here, Carolyn. Note that. It's getting warm out.
Yes.
Getting hot.
Finally, the sun comes out and the lovers go happily.
So, Roxy and I were discussing the effect of the end of the manuscript era and the beginning of the phonetic the Gutenberg galaxy, the printing press. So, this idea of romantic love, the troubadour era, 1200 AD, Abelard and Heloise are part of that personal love situation versus the tribal corporate arranged marriage love. So, as we wrap up walking through the cemetery where it was rainy in the beginning, and it got dull, no rain. Then at the end, the sun comes out, and you'll see in the footage me and Carolyn walking down the last pathway out of the cemetery, named after the Jesuit Father Lachaise. And we're walking down the pathway, holding our hands, and gesticulating as we continue the discussion between the Adam and Eve archetypes. So you hear Roxy commenting on us as we walk off into the distance. I'll just replay that a little bit so you can appreciate it again.
I found it not a tragic situation for me, but I feel sorry for all the people that thought they had to bury themselves in such solid visual boxes. Solid visual boxes. They really took it to heart. This whole cycle of life mythology.
Well, there used to be a Goth and little man.
And this is their city. The city of the little man. Who is
Pierre? The monument of
littleness. Yeah. Who's Pierre Lachaise? Is that a person? Father Lachaise?
Yes, he's a father, a priest there or something.
Yes. Patriarchal nonsense here, Carolyn. Note that. It's getting warm out.
Yes.
Getting hot.
Finally, the sun comes out and the lovers go happily.
So the video ends with Bob talking about the forlorn tragedy of the whole cemetery, the heir of the little man, thinking there's only one short life, short, brutal, and British. Then the good news of us walking off into the new sunlit city and leaving the graveyard. No more do we need the guff and other stuff. So it looks like we've come to the end of the recording. That wasn't perfect. I don't know. Maybe the sound was okay. I didn't go over it as much as I did last week, but things will improve soon. So I bring up, we've got 15 minutes left. Unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Talk about in the last 15 minutes. Shah is attempting to say something.
Well, it seemed quite different this time to last week. Last week, it was so surprising. And this week, it just seemed to be, well, it was different, I suppose, in some ways. But I think I was a bit thrown because of the impact of everything that had happened before on payday today. You know, it seemed to be completely different to what we had been talking about, obviously. And I just didn't seem as involved as I was the first time. The first time, last week, you know, it had been more even throughout the whole of the discussion of payday. Whereas this time it was so intense, there were so many wows and goshes. Just before Dr. Carolyn came on and talked, and then there was all that stimulation, and then this seemed to be like, you know, something from another era, you know, like going back to the 1920s or something. I can't quite explain it. That was my impression of it.
I didn't rub it in as much. I explained last week, I would explain and then replay it so you could hear.
Yes.
But I couldn't be bothered.
In
the same way, I agree with you.
There isn't time, anyway.
Right, and it's not as significant as the new insights we got today or tonight. So, no, I agree. It was good to move through it soon. Hopefully we'll get the video released and you can see what I was looking at.
It did sound as if you were completely, you know, under the influence of Jim Morrison or, you know, the drug person, because everyone was howling with laughter.
That's right. We really is. That's funny. I'm glad you heard
putting
the spirit of it.
Structure on the tomb.
Yeah.
I expect somebody would have borrowed it and sampled it. They'd probably.
That's right. And I was telling the Jim Morrison fans that Jim Morrison didn't die. He escaped. And I was giving them his whole alternative history, which was making Roxy laugh as I was saying it. And these guys were just like dumbfounded. So it was
surprised.
A quite good. What?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So it was quite hilarious, that scene. And hope people get to see it.
But they did see you, didn't they? It wasn't like on the beach at Hawaii where they couldn't see you. They did see you interact.
Yep.
So,
and we were saying outrageous things, so we were being Jim Morrison to them. We had brought the new drug. We were advocating a new song, a new ecstasy, a new Lizard King. So it's awesome that we got to do that in the graveyard, in the cemetery. And yes, the great scene of me and Carol walking off into the sunlit city, leaving the Gutenberg galaxy and its limited. But we had pretty well exhausted the charisma of that last week, but we needed to finish it.
Definitely.
We move on to other points, and yes, you have to recover from the blinding patterns and insights we laid out tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Words do not create anymore.
Mm.
Words are powerful, but they do not create. So something else is creating now.
Mm.
That would affect you as a literate poet.
And I would think there'd be kind of earthquakes and things in the cemetery as well as a result of the restructure and the footsteps going down there, radiating everything.
Well, if you go back and listen to Ion, you want to go to Ion and Bob, you know, our documentation of photographs and us talking to Ion every night about what we saw. There's a lot of discussion of this day at the cemetery. And you will hear what you just said, which was what? You just said an idea. Earthquake. Oh, yes. Ion said there was an earthquake lurking off the outer parts of Paris, deciding whether we would trigger it or something would trigger it.
Mm.
So all the time we were there, nothing happened. And as soon as we left, a big earthquake got deflected over to Italy, Ion said. But it was the one that we were holding off. So yes, we were an earthquake walking through that place. and the world wondered where it would be deposited. Ended up in Italy, which is where it began, at the Vatican. Michael says the recording was fantastic. Love the atmosphere. You got the drop on Mr. Mojo Rising for sure. That would be one of the Doors songs, Mojo Rising. So I'm glad, Michael, that it was audible enough. You got the gist of it. If you're really interested, you take what I said, go back and re-listen, and my explanation will tell you what your what the topic was. But it was fun talking and having Roxy laugh all the way through it, this last bit. I like making the little girls giggle. Oh, I need to unmute people. Or did I unmute them? Oh, maybe I did, but Michael is not speaking. He hasn't called in.
He's maybe been dropped by Skype after a long...
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly unmuted.
Hey, Bob.
You want to hear good... Yes, Sean.
Can you...
I can't hear you.
Mojo.
I can't hear you, Sean. I can't hear you, Sean.
Sorry. I fell asleep. I woke up to the wake, broke on through to the other side, and Roxy singing it, and that was quite funky.
Right, good.
But what was the thing about Mojo?
Oh, that's Michael just quoting
play?
a Jim Morrison song, I think. I think it's called Mojo Rising or something. It's one of those Doors songs.
Okay.
And I'm Mr. Mojo.
I doodled it in my doodles. Before I fell asleep, Bob, I doodled a mojo, and I wrote M-O-J-O. I swear I'm looking at it here.
You wrote what? What'd you
mojo.
Say? You're laughing too much. You wrote, why did you write it?
I doodle. I do a lot of doodling when I'm listening to the show. I've done it before where I'll do like a fish and you'll shout, thanks for all the fish, things like that.
Right. Oh, you're doodling
and
influences.
And I've got it, Yeah, it's saying
so you're
mojo,
saying you wrote Mojo.
Down.
You
right
wrote Mojo and then Michael
fell
quoted it.
Asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's quite cool.
Fascinating. Yeah.
I don't know why I wrote it, Bob. I'll show you. I'll send you a picture on Messenger.
Right, you didn't know it was a Doors song or term.
No, if you see the picture, it's just doodle. So I've got. It just worked out that I wrote Mojo. Yeah.
You know that word. You don't know the word.
No, I've heard about it in like you get your mojo bar.
Yeah.
Find your mojo.
Yeah. When you were getting butterflied. Everybody thought their mojo was rising.
There you go. That's where I found that.
There it is. That's what it is. There I go. Who's that laughing? Was
Stop
that Michael?
It. Bob.
Michael?
Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas. Yeah, it says, oh, Jim Morrison
Hi,
used mojo. Listen to this. Jim
Good
Morrison
year.
Used mojo rising as an anagram for his name. Jim Morrison used Mojo Rising as an anagram for his name.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, for an amazing, amazing, amazing few hours.
You?
Thank you.
How many hours has it been? Started at 3.
We started, well, I haven't taken the dog out. I took her out just before we started at 1 in the morning.
13 hours, Bob.
Yeah, 13
hours. 13 hours, wow.
I need to take her out now. She's been as good as gold. So, thank you.
Well, it's okay.
Very,
we're
very
ending.
Much.
In a few minutes, we're ending. For the night,
Absolutely.
13 hours.
Yes.
Bob, on the case. Awake, conscious, molding the patterns, sculpting the mojo. And then we end with us in the cemetery mocking the cemetery. No respect for the dead.
None.
We're more radical than anything you ever heard of. there's occasional anarchists who blow up somebody or write some manifesto with surrealist meanings, but for consistency, nothing's as radical as Dobbstown and Irondom and all the levels we cover.
Bob, why was that guy arrested? That teenage guy? I was listening to that
I was quite curious. I think he was drinking, and he wasn't supposed to, and the cops told him to put the drink down, and he wouldn't. He was just being a Jim Morrison rebel. He wouldn't put his thing away. So they walked him off, went down the pathway, and then they talked for a while. And I don't remember, maybe we lobbied that they should let him go, but he eventually was let go when he came back, and we got talking about his book by Foucault.
They walked him away, and they said, you know who that guy is? And they said, no. He said, that's the great Bob. And then they said, oh, all right, well, we'll let him go.
Yes, we probably influenced the cops somehow, because why would they pick him up and then let him go? Unless that guy was a very good talker.
Very
Maybe he explained he had been taking the drops, his blood was all screwed up, and he needed to drink Diet Coke. And he was only drinking it for medical reasons. Maybe that's what he said.
And just out of complete curiosity, the statue with the green balls and the toes, do people still suck them?
Yes. It's very active, very watched.
Disgusting.
It's all rubbed away. Look up Victor Noir. I think it's N-O-I-R, Victor Black. He, like, died at 28 or something. 22,
no,
very young.
And I mean, do people still go through that tradition of going and fiddling with his stuff?
Yeah. Oh, so it's N-O-I-R, Victor Noir?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah. No, you looked it up. That was the way you spell his name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, it's quite blatant. The brown stain.
No, but what I'm saying is, do people still do that? I mean, do they still go there to mess around with his genitalia?
Can't say. I don't know about that. You know, as Ion says, the high school girls are giving it away, so people don't need to have these repressed fetishes. As McLuhan said, sex is dead. Does not have the blinding effect it had on visually biased men who had so little tactility in their life, they needed the release of sex. But once you get to tribal people, McLuhan says, the tribal person, preliter person, sex is just a cup of coffee, not a big deal. It's not a cathartic experience like it is for visually biased people. So we're moved into the retrieved Paleolithic scenes again, caveman scenes, so maybe rubbing a guy's dick is ridiculous when you have so many opportunities to have some live person rub your dick.
Very strange.
Michael says,
see you later,
you have truly blown... Yeah, just a second. Oh, so Michael says, you have truly blown my visitor's mind, Bob. We'll have to ask him what he means by that. What? How did I blow his mind? Yes, I am coming back, Cider Somerset. Be back in 1 hour.
Clock.
Yeah, 1 hour. Very short break here. 1 hour.
Awesome.
Woo!
Thank you, Bob.
All right, guys. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for making it seem that we are.
Bob.
All right.